Amen. Thank you, Willie. Well, we're going to start a new series. We've wrapped up our series called Hope Rises throughout the Easter season and last week as well. And we're going to move into a new series called Wounded. Help for those who have been hurt. And that's God's desire, that we would find healing for the hurts we've experienced, but also that we would be able to help heal those who are still working through hurts. So those that are still on their way to Jesus. And so we're going to spend a number of weeks working through this series. You may not know this, but I was athletic once, and I used to play rugby around the time I had hair. That picture was taken. And I remember interviewing for my job at Malvern, and this eye was swollen, completely shut, and was purple because I had a massive scar. You can still see it to this day. But I was playing rugby with the Coburg Saxons, and we were playing at Fletcher's Field, which is in just on Woodbine. And I had tackled someone, and then my own player came in and hit me right here. And I had this one-inch gash across my face. And, you know, that just happened to be one of those times where Kimberly was there to watch. I don't think you've been around to watch too many sports activity since, because maybe that was a traumatic event. But she was there to drive me to the hospital at Leslie in the 401 there. And we were waiting and waiting and waiting. And it was under renovations, and there was only a couple seats in the waiting room. And this little girl came and sat beside me. And she was very sick right in front of me while we were sitting in this very crowded waiting room. And so we waited and we waited. My head was beginning to hurt. And after about an hour and a half of waiting, they took me in. And I was laying down on the table, and the doctor removed the gauze from my face. And he said, "Wow, I have never seen a gash so bad before. I could see the nerves moving around. Like, this is amazing. I have never I've never had to work on something this bad." He's like, "Is it okay if I go get my intern?" So he went and found his medical student to come and look at my face. And meanwhile, I wasn't very reassured that he was going to put me back together the way I was before. I didn't have a lot of good looks to work with before this accident. I was hopeful that he was going to be able to stitch me up. And so he did an all right job, but I was pretty worried when he said, "Wow, I've never had to work on a cut this bad before." And he was excited about it. Are you thankful that Jesus was wounded, but he has experienced healing? He was wounded so that he could administer healing to us. And we're going to look tonight at a prophecy that talks about the confidence we can have in Jesus because he knows what he's doing. Because he can bring healing to our lives. And although I didn't have a lot of faith in that doctor that day because he has never walked that hard into surgery. He's never had to put together 12 stitches on an inch thick gash on someone's face before. We can be confident that Jesus has faced every challenge and he's overcome. And he can work in our lives and bring healing to us. And so that's where we want to start as we begin to look at how we can see God's healing at work in our lives to be able to help bring healing into others. Starting at Isaiah 52, verses 13 to 15, and working into a very famous prophecy, Isaiah 53, says this: "See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted, just as there were many who were appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any human being, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were not told, they will see, and what they have not heard, they will understand." Isaiah 53:1, "Who has believed our message, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind, a man of suffering and familiar with pain. like one from whom people hide their faces. He was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering, and yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. I touched on this beautiful prophecy a couple weeks ago when we were having communion, and I want to just focus on it in greater depth tonight because it is a real good foundational passage, understanding of wounded. We've all been wounded. Some have been wounded more deeply than others, but we have a Savior who, although he was wounded, has experienced healing. And though he was wounded for us, he can bring healing to our lives and help us bring healing to others. This prophecy was written almost 800 years before Jesus walked the earth. And there's three different types of hurt that Jesus was experiencing. First, he was wounded physically. Verse 14 of Isaiah 52 talks about how disfigured Jesus was, that he was almost not recognizable as a human. It says he was marred beyond human likeness. That is how Jesus was hurt and tortured and broken on his way to the cross. Prophecy goes on that Jesus will sprinkle many nations. And it seems like an odd phrase, but the reference here is to one out of the temple. That the sprinkling that the priest would do in the temple would bring cleansing to those that were looking for forgiveness. And so Jesus will bring sprinkling not just to one nation, but he will sprinkle, he will cleanse many nations. One of the amazing things about our church is the diversity. And we have people from all different continents here worshiping Jesus in the same room. And we're seeing that prophecy come to pass right here in this room tonight. The kings, religious rulers that even in that crucifixion account didn't believe Jesus was the Messiah. And so their mouths will be shut when they realize that they were wrong about Jesus. They will be appalled that they had miscalculated the situation so badly. And the day will come when Jesus will return, and every king and ruler on this nation will recognize him as Lord of lords and King of kings. The prophecy continues that Jesus wasn't beautiful or majestic, and maybe that culture's understanding of what royalty and nobility would be like. Judas had to run up to Jesus and kiss him on the cheek to identify him because he likely looked very similar to the disciples he was leading. I remember traveling to Thailand a number of years ago and worshiping in one of their beautiful churches and looking up at the front of the altar, and there was this picture of Jesus. And it's like, wow. He had long, flowing hair, and he had pasty white skin, and he looked very feminine. And it was just odd for this Thai church to be worshiping Jesus that looked like that. This picture here comes from Popular Mechanics publication. And this is their scientific research. And this is what they've come up with what Jesus likely looked like. How did they perform this research? Well, they took three skulls from Nazareth, where Jesus came from. And they took the features from that skull and they reconstructed it, and they feel like this is likely what Jesus would look like. The average height of a person from that part of the world was 5 feet and 1 inch. And so it's a very reputable magazine. It's possible that Jesus looked very much like this. I don't know if you have been asked, but I've been asked all the time, what color was Jesus? What did Jesus look like? Although his work doesn't necessarily matter what he looked like, because he changes our lives, it's possible that Jesus, from the part of the world he was from, may very well have looked like this man here. And so he was wounded physically for each one of us. The prophecy continues that he was wounded emotionally. Verse 3 said he was despised and rejected. We spent a lot of time looking at the lengths the religious leaders were willing to go to have him killed and to have him executed in the normal way of just having someone stoned was not enough. They weren't going to have him stoned. It wasn't enough to have him whipped. He must die the most painful, the most humiliating way possible. He must die in such a way that he would be known as a common criminal. That he would walk his cross to the place where he would die. He was despised and he was rejected. He was a man of sorrows, or he was a man of suffering. And what this portion refers to is that he was familiar with death. He was there to comfort Martha and Mary at the death of their brother Lazarus, who he did out of compassion raised from the dead. He likely experienced the death of his father, because we don't hear any mention of Joseph after Jesus was 12 years old in Scripture. He was familiar with death and with suffering. One of the most difficult parts to read of this whole prophecy is the pain of rejection, as the very people he came to save denied him. The people actually covered their face because they didn't want to look upon Jesus, because they hated him so much, because they looked down on him so much. The Son of God, the Chosen One, the Messiah, was wounded emotionally. When I was preparing, I came across a powerful quote from a gentleman named John Bloom, who writes on a popular Christian website called Desiring God. He said this about the emotional wounds that Jesus had. He said, "There was a supreme moment of loneliness, so dark and deep that only Jesus has ever experienced. It was on the cross, the moment he became sin for us. In an unfathomable, horrible, incomprehensible, lonely moment, he felt forsaken by his Father and all those he loved. He was ravaged physically and spiritually, beyond human semblance, having spent his early life estranged by his sinlessness. Now Jesus was estranged by the sin he willingly bore, our sin. No one has experienced or understand the depths of loneliness like Jesus." It's true that Jesus has experienced loneliness greater and deeper than any human will ever experience. And so he understands what we go through when we come to him. Jesus was wounded physically. He's wounded emotionally. And lastly, he knows what it means to be wounded spiritually. Verse 4 says, "Jesus took our pain and our suffering. He was considered punished by God, stricken by him, afflicted." Goes on to say he was pierced by our own wrongdoing. He was crushed for our misdeeds. And the punishment that brought us peace was laid upon him. That Jesus took the weight of your and my sin, and the 60 people in this room, but millions upon millions upon millions upon millions of people's sin all at once, that he carried that. Lonely, on his own, turned away by God for a moment while he carried the sin of the world, and he died to pay for our punishment. But the good news is this. As the prophecy ends in verse 5, it says, "This wounds, we are healed." Now by his wounds, we are healed. Jesus was wounded physically. He's wounded emotionally. He's wounded spiritually. But by those wounds, we can find healing. We can find healing spiritually. We can have a relationship with God because our sin has now been paid for. That there's nothing in the way that we no longer need a priest to enter into God's presence. But when we ask forgiveness, we can walk into God's presence. I believe there's also the ability to experience physical healing. That the Jesus resurrection power is at work in our lives. That Jesus is at work doing miracles in our world today. It doesn't qualify whether it's spiritual healing or physical healing. And so I don't think we need to qualify it either. That Jesus brings healing to the wounds that He experienced for us. That's good news, friends. That Jesus, although He experienced wounding on a level that none of us will ever have to face, He was victorious. That He overcame those attacks. He overcame those people that saw to crucify Him and humiliate Him. That He has overcome pain on every level. Your pain, your hurt, your scars, they can be healed because of what Jesus has done for us. Because He was wounded, healing is available to each one of us. Henry Nouwen is a very famous author. He served in Toronto for a number of years before he passed away, and he's written some amazing books. One of them is called Wounded Healer, and this is a quote from that book. Jesus is God's wounded healer. Through His wounds we are healed. Jesus' suffering and death brought joy and life. His humiliation brought glory. His rejection brought a community of love. As followers of Jesus, we can also allow our wounds to bring healing to others. When we come to Christ, He knows how to bring healing to what we're facing. He knows how to bring healing to the wounds that we've experienced. And when we experience healing, we can then help bring hope to a hurting world. I want to close with one passage here that's very familiar and relates well to this passage from the Old Testament. That's Hebrews 4, verses 15 to 16. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet He did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Jesus is a high priest. He's the greatest high priest. We no longer need to take our offerings to a priest who would go into the Holy of Holies once a year and on the Day of Atonement and make a sacrifice. That when we come to Jesus and ask Him to forgive us of our sins, that He is our high priest. That He forgives us and makes us right with God. And He is a high priest who empathizes. In other words, He suffers with us. He's affected similarly to us. He understands what we've been through. He understands what we go through. Jesus suffers with us in our weaknesses, in our hurt, in our pain, in the difficult things that we have to face. Are you thankful for Jesus suffering with us, that we don't suffer alone? It goes on, He says He did not sin. And that doesn't mean it was easy for Jesus to walk this world or that He didn't face temptation. He faced temptation, yet He did not give in. He faced temptation to an extent that you and I will never have to face. That He experienced temptation, but yet without sin. So He knows what we walk through when we're tempted to make bad decisions and give in. And so we're thankful that Jesus' sympathy, that there's nothing that you face that Jesus hasn't already faced and conquered. There's nothing that you are walking through that Jesus hasn't already experienced. And we can take comfort in that. We can take encouragement in that. Sometimes we may say, no one knows what I'm feeling. No one's had to face what I'm facing. No one knows what's going on. Well, Jesus does. And not only that, He suffers with you because He's been affected similarly to you. Yet He's overcome. We're going to continue working through this theme, but there's a powerful verse in Corinthians that talks about we can comfort others with the comfort that we've received from Jesus. And that's powerful. It's a powerful truth to know that Jesus is with us, that He understands, but it gets even better than that. It goes even farther than that. Not only does He just understand, not only does He just suffer with us, but He has the power to help us He has the power to change a situation. He has the power to support us. He gives us grace and mercy in our time of need, right when we need it. I'm sure all of us at one time or another have had to call customer service for an issue. Maybe it's with your phone, maybe it's with your internet, maybe it's with something you bought that you had to take back. And you get that first person on the phone and, well, sorry, we can't really help you. No, I'm suffering with you, but there's nothing I can do. No, I feel your pain. But I really... And eventually, if you yell and scream and you know, maybe you don't yell and scream, but you make your case, and eventually they say, okay, I'll put you on to my manager. And then you talk to them for a while. Eventually, they put you on to the next person. And maybe three or four people up the ladder, finally you get to someone who can kind of work outside the box and maybe return an item or solve your problem. But aren't you thankful that Jesus is the person that you can contact, the person that you can go to, the person that you can walk in with confidence and He can help you right when you need it? This verse continues and says that Jesus gives us mercy. In other words, He doesn't give us what we deserve. And He gives us grace, meaning He gives us what we don't deserve in our time of need. He gives us healing for grief and loss, and physical pain and loneliness, and for bitterness, and for physical abuse and verbal abuse, that Jesus can bring healing even in the most difficult of hurts. Sometimes it's instantaneous, sometimes it's gradually walking with Him. But Jesus knows everything that's happened to us. He's able to bring healing, because He was wounded physically, He was wounded emotionally, He was wounded spiritually. And we can have confidence that we can receive help from Him when we need it. Last week, we got a chance to travel. Kim was serving at Highway Church, and I got a chance to go to Curtis. They come and have come for at least 10 years serving meals. We had a chance to serve at their church in the morning, but then they took me to a place called Gate 316. It's an outreach to the very difficult part of South Oshawa. They just wanted me to share a little bit about stress. Well, I've had a little bit of stress. I've had some post-traumatic stress a number of years ago, and it was difficult. It was a year and a half of healing and difficult times and dark moments, and it was a roller coaster of ups and downs, and I got through it. And I got a chance to share with a room of 50 people. Many people live in very dark and difficult places. Many people addicted to dark and difficult substances. Many people who are not sure where their next meal is going to come from. I had a chance to share about how God had helped me through those difficult moments. And we're wounded. And that's just a reality of living in a world that's broken and messed up by sin and in need of a Savior who will one day return and make it a perfect place again. And we can experience healing. And when our pain is redeemed, when our wounds begin to heal, that we can go out into our world just like Jesus did and begin to patch up wounds and begin to share our story and begin to suffer with those that are hurting, suffer with those that are lost, suffer with those that are without hope. Aren't you thankful that Jesus understands everything that we're going through, but more than that, He is able to help us in our time of need. Are you thankful for that? The thing about help is that we need to reach out, don't we? We need to recognize that we can't do it on our own, that we need to call out for God, that we need to put our faith in action and say, God, I need your help. I need your mercy. I need your grace. And I have confidence that you are someone that knows all about my weaknesses, yet you're without sin. And I pray to a God that can bring healing and help when I need it. And so tonight we're going to sing the song that talks about God and His ability to bring healing and help. And this is one of those nights where we want to make ourselves available to pray for you. We want you to be filled with confidence that God will help me in my time of need. And so we want to stand with you and pray with you. So maybe in a moment, you'll raise your hand and say, yeah, I want to put my faith in action. I want you to pray for me because I need this help right now. Maybe in a moment, you'll come up out of your seat, and as we sing this song, you'll ask me or Willie or Jan or Jean Martin or Gretchen or one of the other leaders in our church to pray with you and stand with you, because it means asking for help. And when we ask for help, Jesus is able to pray. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. And maybe tonight you'd say, Pastor, I want you to pray for me. I have a wound. I have a hurt. I have a need that I need Jesus experiencing. I need His power. I know He understands, but I need Him to help me. So why don't you slip your hand up? I want to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Lord, we're thankful. Lord, we're reminded that You suffer with us. There is nothing that we face that You haven't faced to a more extreme detail. And we take comfort from the fact that we serve a God who's walked this earth, who knows our hurt. But even more than that, He has the power to heal. He has the power to overcome. He has the power to make whole. And so, God, we pray that You would reach out to Your people tonight, people who put their faith in action and said, I need help. I need Your mercy. I need Your grace, and I need it now. And I pray, God, that You would do something supernatural right now, that You would work in their life, that You would bring healing to their minds and their hearts, that You would bring them hope where there was hurt, that You would bring hope where there was discouragement, that You would bring healing where there was woundedness. Lord, that You would do something supernatural and instantaneous that only You can do. Lord, we're thankful that you don't really know just what happened to us, but God, that You are alive and well and at work in our lives today. So God, we pray for physical healing. We know that You are a God that heals bodies. And so God, we pray for physical healing tonight. We pray for emotional healing for those that are carrying wounds from the past, that You would set them free, that they would make a choice in their mind to let that person go. Yes, they have been hurt. Yes, that they have been taken advantage of. Yes, they have been wandering all over. But God, we let those people go. We need them forward. And we pray for healing in those situations. And God, we pray for hope. We pray for Your light to be seen in the darkest of night. We pray, oh God, that we would see You shining. Even when nothing else is going our way, we're thankful that one day You're going to come our way from heaven and we're going to spend eternity with You. And so, God, I pray that You would fill Your people with hope, and fill them with joy, that You would do miraculous things, that we would have an opportunity to share next week at 5:11. Because You are a God that heals, and You heal so that we can be used to help others. And so, God, we pray that as we continue to embrace Your healing, that You would use us to reach out into hurting neighborhoods, difficult buildings, help bring reconciliation to families.